Malagutsi said, "Stand aside for a while and leave room for learning. Observe carefully what children do, and then, if you have understood well, perhaps teaching will be different from before." Today, Dr. Naama Zoran returns and will illuminate the unique way that observation is seen, interpreted, and built upon in the Reggio Emilia Municipal Preschools and Infant Toddler Centers. She will share examples highlighting the significance of entering an observation with focus and presence, and she will help us become awakened to Reggio. I am so thrilled to have Naama Zoran back with us to continue the conversation. Naama, as you may remember, is my teacher, my mentor, my friend. I'm so lucky to have had her by my side, guiding me through this journey and continuing to do that as I listen to her explain to us about all of this beautiful, beautiful learning that she brings from Reggio Emilia. Welcome. Let me just start by saying welcome.
Hi, Sandy. I was really looking forward to talking together and creating like a new piece for our journey.
Well, I'm so excited. And to follow the conversations that we've already been having about the image of the child, the image of the teacher, the image of learning. Today, I know you wanted to talk about the concept of observation, the value of observation. I would love for you to share what you have been doing during the pandemic, because I know that you spend you travel so many times to Reggio Emilia during a typical year, and this has definitely not been a typical year. Can you tell us, just give us a little bit of a window into how you've continued to stay connected and learn from the people of Reggio Emilia?
So what I did two things. One is that when they started to do the online learning, like when they started their webinars, I began traveling with them around the world from my from my place in Israel. I have joined like every webinar, you know, from Italy or what was given in South America, in Spain. I call this year the year of my professional development. Especially, I must say, in one of the seminars that I was participating in, they gave a whole session about how they coped with the pandemic. And just that session, it was like really mind-blowing.
Could you share like one nugget for us that came from them around that idea that will inspire us as we're moving forward?
So like when they had to close the schools, it was like February 24th, 2020, they still had 2 weeks where, of course, all the children were at home, but all the teams in the different settings in Reggio, they still worked in the settings. And in those 2 weeks, they really planned and thought, what would be their compass? And this is so Reggio Emilia.
Yeah.
When you have the compass, when you have the value-based framework, then nothing could shift you, whether it is a small thing or a big thing.
So when they were thinking together, it wasn't just about how are we going to do it.
No, so first of all, the first thing that they were thinking about was to find like, you know, like an idea that could be like the North Star. And they said, and this was like the title, the home is not a limit, it is a resource. Sandy.
Yeah.
No words, because just to frame, now, of course, nobody knew back then how complex and world-changing it would be. But if we enter the coping period with an idea of that the condition is not a limit, it's very, 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 very different from anything that everybody did. And then the other thing they said, we immediately started to communicate with the families. And the first message that they wanted to send to the families and to the children is that, okay, clearly we are at home, but we keep the relationships. We still care for the school, and we are sending it to you from the school, like this first letter. And we want to show you that we continue the care during the period where everybody was at home, because their first phase was really, really, really horrific in Italy. And many, many months, the schools were not open until the summer, actually. Some of the projects that they offered, like as part of the curriculum, so it was connected to the idea that the home is a resource. So for example, one of the things was, in every home, there is a treasure. Find your treasure.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I was in tears throughout the meeting. It is so empowering. It is so giving everybody the sense of uniqueness.
Well, just using the word treasure, you know, a lot of educators were asking children to share things from their home, but to say treasure shows this idea that it's an opportunity, not a limit. Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So then children brought narratives and developed into a long process. So this was like one beautiful thing. And then another thing was, you know that in their settings, the inside and the outside is like one reality. And they have big windows, and many, many processes are connecting between what is going outside our window and what's inside. So they continued the same idea in being at home with, look at your window and make a drawing about what you are seeing. And then children shared like from my window.
Really from a higher place, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah. Wow. So today we decided to speak about the concept of observation. And most early childhood programs, curricula, approaches talk about observation, but the teachers of Reggio, they really see observation in a very different way.
The first thing that I would like to start with is that for Loris Malaguzzi, observation is not just a strategy. It is part of the values that we need to have while we are with children. So the first thing is, the observation is with children and not on children. Usually what we know is that, let's say, there is a child that exhibits a behavior, and we would like to see what he or she are doing, and then to decide what to do, like how to deal with it. Or there is a dynamic in the class. So usually it's like a top-down thing. I have a goal. I want to see what is going on in the construction area. And many, many times I'm an outsider because I'm sitting and I'm writing about them. While in Reggio, the main focus is that I would like to understand more about how they learn, how they construct knowledge, how they are with each other. And I'm a participant in the observation, because I am there to make a comment, to shed light. It's not that I'm just gathering information. I'm constructing a place where within the process that is going on, and it could be a behavior, it could be a tantrum, it could be anything, I'm there to understand, but also I'm with. I could ask the group a question. I could put a piece of information that might open another venue for discussion. It's not like what we learned in the college, to sit on a chair with a notebook and just write what I'm seeing. We could give some examples. Whether it is, let's say, let's take a social thing in the class.
That's good.
There are times where a child wants to join a game, a play, a group play, and the group is saying, no, there is no place. You cannot participate. It's a common very social. So in general, we see it as a problem because a child comes to us and say, they do not allow me to participate. And we are like, let's go and talk with them, go and talk with them again. Like here, I could, whether I heard it or the child came to me, I'm going to the group and now I am a participant, but I'm also observing what will happen. But I'm not entering from the place of, it is a problem to be solved.
Yeah. Not from a place of judgment.
Yeah, I understand that you were saying that there is no place for a friend. I'm not saying, I heard that you didn't want Sandy to participate.
Right.
I'm going to the value. Like what is, because I want to understand what is for them, you cannot participate. Okay. So I heard that there is no place for other children. So they answer, they have their answers. All the roles are already given. She can join us tomorrow. Like, okay, different things. Now I have two big options. I could either keep it open and say to myself, okay, I need to understand whether it is like a specific issue here or a dynamic in the class. So here I created for myself a zone for observation. I could continue the conversation asking, what does it mean? Okay, all the roles are gone, all the...
I'm probing into what they've said a little bit further.
But I'm not just ending it with, I'm sure you'll find something for Sandy, or in our preschool, we are all friends. It doesn't end like this. Usually, when they understand that we are coming to a real conversation, there is always someone in the group that finds a solution. Mm-hmm. She could be my sister, she could be my this, she could be my that. But, okay, so this specific situation, okay, let's say, found its own solution. But for me, it created a landscape to really observe what are the social dynamics in my class.
Yeah, so it wasn't over because a child found a solution. It was actually beginning.
So usually in Reggio Emilia, they will share it among them. In Reggio Emilia, the teacher is really interested in the processes that are going in the class. So something like that evokes in me a real motivation to understand where could I see it in my class, what led to it, what kind of messages maybe I'm sending. Like they take it into a research area for them, like to my growth, and of course for the children. Let's say you and I are colleagues, and we decided that we will observe different areas, and we will listen to what children and how they talk to each other. And we are talking, and after a couple of days, 3 days, we sit and we analyze what we have gathered. We are sharing what we heard, and we really understand that now it could be like anything. It could be that it's only with only one child, or only in that area, or only when there is one child that wants specific things and doesn't get it. Like, okay, whatever what we will find. Then we could come to the group with much more knowledge and understanding. And we could open, again, a place where we work on the value of, it could be togetherness, it could be, what does it mean to include someone? What does it mean to exclude? It depends on what we will reveal. The one beautiful thing is that they say in radio, you're not entering an observation with, okay, let's see what will happen. Let's see what I would see. Like Sandy, what we are seeing sometimes that a teacher is sitting, but she didn't come with a goal to the area. And then they write notes, but then the notes take us nowhere. Even if as a team, we decided that this week you are 2 days, you're sitting in the construction area because we saw that children are really interested and I'm going to the other area. This is not enough. Okay, so I will be in the construction area, but how would I enter with, let's see what will happen? Or I need 2 days before the observation to be there and to see what is going on, to create a goal for myself.
So I would say that what you're describing is very common, right? That teachers often say, I know something interesting is happening in the construction area. I'm going to spend some time here this week and observe. How would they focus a question? How would they come to a more meaningful goal for observation in that place? And maybe could you just give us an example of one that we could sort of use to then match how we are thinking against that?
First of all, as a general sentence, I would say that I myself as a teacher, I need to be really interested in understanding what are the dynamics, what is the culture, what are the waves that are characterizing my class. Let's say you told me, Nama, this week we are working with the children on an observational drawing, and I want you, when you are there with them, to observe. I need to understand that I have homework to sit at home today and ask myself, what is observational drawing for me? What do I know about it? Do I know anything? Or I think that I know what tomorrow when I'll sit and this is what they'll do. What would intrigue me? What would take me to an awe? I cannot just take it as you gave me a task and tomorrow morning I'll take a piece of paper and I'll sit. No. Let's say as a director or pedagogista, or we cannot just give the assignment. We need to walk with the teachers so that when they'll be there, it will be meaningful. What is interesting for you to understand? tomorrow morning when you sit there. We cannot enter without that. And I'm telling you that in Reggio, they never, never, never enter without the focus.
So once they come with this focus, and then they start observing, documenting, talk about the dispositions, the ways of being, the ways of creating that sense of presence in the moments that they are there. So they've done this pre-work, and now they've stepped into a moment. Maybe it's the observational drawing that they were doing, or construction, or something like that. How do we bring this to a place that actually becomes deeper, where eventually we will be able to bring it back in some way, relaunch it in some way?
A lot is based on the preparation process. Let's play with an example. A teacher decided that tomorrow morning she's bringing flower to the class, and she wants the children to make an observational drawing of the flower. So in the team meeting, she said she will say, tomorrow this is what I'm planning. I'll bring this special flower. So first of all, we need to talk with her. Okay, what do you have in your mind? How the area would look like? How the learning area would look like? At that moment, she doesn't really know how it would look like, but this is what we need to talk about. What kind of colors you will offer? What kind of
surfaces?
Paper, surfaces. Would a real flower would be on the table? Would it be from a book? Would it be from the computer? So this is like the pre-stage, and this connects to presence, because I'm already working on my presence while I'm planning the way the whole learning area would look like, what it would offer. I need to know for myself, why from a computer, why I want the real flower, what would be the difference for my class, whether it will be this or that, or I would like to start from the real, but then the following day I'll bring it from the computer. So if I myself, I'm an active participant in the planning, then when I'm sitting there, I know exactly why I wanted it would be like that.
Can I take a step back for 1 second too? Because I think right now, and especially in many schools that are calling themselves Reggio inspired or saying that they're studying the Reggio approach, you will see that very experience offered a lot. You know, I think they think, okay, well, it's spring, we're going to put a flower on the table and have the children draw about it. How could we see that a little bit differently? Like, what is the why that we're doing that? I feel like we often do it, but without the why. Well, could you tell us like an example of a why that we would be offering this, something that comes from somewhere?
In my mind, people hear observational drawing. Okay, so it is two words. Observation, I know. Drawing, I know. Okay, no problem. I can do it tomorrow morning.
Right.
But then, and I saw it so many times, I'm like, but then when I'm there, I'm not really there. Because just to know the words, it's not enough. If it is called observational drawing, so I want the child, the children, to go through a process where the umbrella is not the drawing. The drawing is the venue. The umbrella is, how do we get to know something? What does it mean to know something or someone? And this is the beauty. And without the umbrella, Sandy, it limits itself to the strategy, and then we know how it ends.
We know that it just becomes an activity more than than something.
And of course, it ends after 7 minutes.
Right.
I'm done. I'm going. I'm this. I'm that.
Yeah.
So, but in my mind, it is all connected to the level of presence, because if I know that this is a venue for the value of knowing an other, whether it is an object or a person, then my eye will change when I'll be there. If it is just namaste, sit today in this table where they will draw this or that object, then, okay. So I'll write, Sandy first took the white paper, then she took the red color, then she took the... But when it will end, I feel that, and we get those sentences, it wasn't so much that happened over there.
Yeah. So if they're coming with an eye to how do you get to know someone or something, then what do you imagine some of the sentences would look like in an observation like that?
First of all, your listening is changing. You hear what the children are saying to each other, because the children, while they're working, they talk a lot among themselves. Even if at first glance, it doesn't seem that it's like on the topic, but depends how wide is my umbrella. You could hear, Sandy, why are you doing it with red? Look at the petals.
Yeah.
It's not red. So if I'm there and I'm in the zone of getting to know three dots, then I take this comment from the child and open it for a question for the group. Nama asked Sandy why she chose the purple. What do you think about this question? It's not about, Sandy, listen what Nama is telling you about the purple. No, not that.
And it's not whether you agree, is it purple or red? It's
exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, Nama could do whatever she wants. Although if it is an observational drawing, it does matter what I did.
But it's more metacognitive in a way, the question, right? It's
And to the group.
Yeah.
You turn the group into a place where you want their opinion and you want their discussion. And this change is huge changing, Sandy. Huge. Carla has this message that she talks about a lot, the if. Because the if is, if the conditions will be right, the quality will rise. If the conditions are compromised, the quality is compromised.
Wow. That is big. That is everything, really. If you were speaking to a group of educators who are very new to this, how would you give them a beginning point for what it means to carry observation into documentation, which is what a lot of people are asking about?
We need to ask ourselves, what kind of relationships do we want to create in our school and in our class? And the relationships, like relationships with learning, with each other, with the environment. So this is like the first question. what kind of relationships? Now, if I'm just talking with myself, and I say to myself, I want children to understand that every moment has in it relationships, opportunities, and something to learn about themselves, the others, the world. So if I have this as, let's say, the entry compass, everything that I do will have this flavor of, this is an environment that cares. It cares about us, about what's outside, what's inside. Like, and it's not just a place where we come in the morning, okay, until 9:30 is this, until 10:30, etc. I had a wonderful process with the teacher. This year, because of the COVID, when children sat to eat, whether it was a snack or lunch, they couldn't sit with each other as it was before. The regulation in that school, but I think in general, was only two children at a table. So we had to sit one on the two sides of the table. And the teacher is learning with me in a group. She brought to the group a question. She said, there is a lot going on in the dynamics around the food time. First of all, the moment they arrive, they start negotiating.
Who will sit with whom?
Who will sit? Send it today. We will run and take those two chairs over there. And it's unbelievable. I see it as like from our ear, it's like the most beautiful music.
Yeah.
So she said, first of all, we have this dynamic. But also, and then we tried to talk with the children, blah, blah, blah. And then there is another dynamic where there are children that always other children want to sit with them. And there are other children that they are not chosen. Just in parentheses, how in every situation, the children are asking social questions. And the last thing that she said, that even if they chose the friend and they are sitting, during the whole meal, they look back to what is going on another table.
Yeah.
And she said, we talked with them many times, nothing helps. Like, and we talked as a group, and I explained that, again, if it's the only strategy, okay, the rules are that this year we could only see two children, then it's dry like the desert for me. So I don't see it as an opportunity or as a learning moment or a place where children are asking many questions. For me, it's just why it's not quiet, why it is this, why it is that. If I understand that they are dialoguing with me as a teacher, but also among themselves, then first of all, and this is what I told her, first of all, 2 days, you and your colleague, you are taking videos from all the things that you just shared with us. And then after we will see the videos, first of all, the video will show you many things that right now you do not see because you want quiet and happiness. And after we will see what is coming up from this video, then we will know what kind of observation you will do. Like the video, it's only like, okay, opening the screen. And then we will know what kind of a discussion to create. And I said to her that also you could give children to do the video. You could do a video, but also give them a camera and see what they will capture. And on the second, we turned it into a place of research, place of learning, place of relationships.
It's really leaning in to the life that's right in front of us and using it as a place of research and an understanding of culture and exactly. creating of culture as well. Wow, that example is so amazing. It's happening all over and people are seeing this as problems versus interesting dynamics that are worthy of looking very closely at with the children.
So then something unbelievable happened. So she, on the following week, she brought us to the group. She brought some of the videos. I'm seeing on the table, like while the children are coming to sit, after they decided who will sit and all of that, the table itself, okay, they sit in the two sides, but on the table, there are papers and the other things. So I'm asking, what's on the table? First she said, no, they are sitting and eating. I said, yes, but there is something on the table. This is called the teacher's blindness. And after three times that I just kept asking what's on the table. Ah, these are the working papers where they worked on them before the... So we just keep it on the table because after the snack, they will go back. And then I opened another discussion and I said, this is the strength of observation. It shows us the blindness areas. What kind of message are we sending? If we keep the work in the middle and they eat, what kind of message is it? So that in itself became another layer. Of course, this is what the brain does. Not to be flooded with like everything.
So many things at once, yeah.
Yeah, we shut down. Shut down different things. But still the messages are there. This is why the observation is so critical. Because it shows us things that we do not want to see. Forget the things that we want to see. Yeah. It really, really forces me to see beyond what I'm willing to see.
At this statement, the messages are there. We need to be able to open our eyes to them and see all those messages that are there, whether we are looking or not. And wow, you did it again. This took me to places I just didn't even expect. And in my soul, this is so beautiful. Thank you, Nama. You are so generous always with your wisdom, with your time. I think we all will come away today with a new way of looking at the moments that we are with the children in the classroom. And I can't wait till next time that we're together and what you come up with then for this. This is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. It is so important for me that we are in this together. And every time to open another curtain.
If you would like to know more about my wonderful guests or the Reggio approach, please go to my website at sandylanesconsulting.com or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.